This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Hey, power hour. You gotta wait for it. You gotta wait for it, Wes.
By the way, can't. Coveted invite at 9:30.
I'm excited. We have not had the coveted invite.
Been a while. I think coveted invite's first appearance in 2020.
I'd have to look it through the notes, but that could very well be the case.
I know how we're starting the hour, though.
You like this guy.
Well, I tell you what. I mean, Saturday, it wasn't hard to like him, right?
He was bombing away, like you said. But
7 threes against the Wolfpack?
But it's all about the feel, isn't it, Les? And all about texture. It's all about what feels good in the hand.
I want to get to the camera here in Louisville. Ryan McMahon joins us here on Packer and Durham this morning. And I want to make sure I got this straight, because after the game, you came over and sat down and visit with Sean Farnham and I. And you made a passing comment, well, I really like kind of shooting with an Adidas ball, da-da-da. Then I read a story where apparently right before the game or so, you decided to talk to the referee, Ted Valentine, and say, I like this Adidas ball better than the other Adidas ball. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Jordan and I were trying to fish out which ball we liked best. And we went to Mr. Valentine, and he said we could pick the game ball, so we fished through a couple and found one that we really liked.
All right, now wait a second. You're introducing a whole new dimension to Packer and Durham here this morning with this. How often do you and Jordan go fishing through the Adidas basketballs to find the right one when you're – and by the way, the rules state, you're not doing anything nefarious here, the road team gets to pick the ball used in the game. So it's not breaking rules. So how many times have you and Jordan kind of reset the game ball, for lack of a better term?
Well, yeah, you're correct. It's completely legal. But this, as far as I know, this is the first time him and I have picked out the game ball. Hmm. Usually we don't have any problems with the game ball. And the one we saw there on the scores table had something wrong with it, so we picked out a different one.
So I'm just curious, Ryan, for future reference, when you guys are on the road and you and Jordan are going through the ball rack and you guys disagree, how do you break the tie? Game of horse? I mean, what do you guys do with that?
No, we're both pretty good shooters, so we'll probably agree on a ball. I mean, he wanted me to pick the game ball. He just knew that the one that was up there was bad, so he trusted my opinion.
All right, now, forgive us on this. What constituted the ball on the table being bad? It didn't go in the basket?
No. Like, when you spun it, it was a little wobbly. And then when I dropped it, the weight of the ball was a little off, just because when, like, you pick out an emblem on the ball.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you drop it, and if it's a perfectly weighted ball, the emblem will come right back up to you. And if it's not, then the weight will throw it off and the ball will rotate as it comes up. So it kind of did both of those.
So how often does that happen?
More often with certain brands of balls and less often with others. But it can happen with any basketball, just in terms of the packaging of the ball, like how it's shipped to the school, when how it's blown up, how long it's been sitting in their inventory, a bunch of different things.
You know, it's funny you bring this up, because I remember reading a story on ESPN.com prior to the beginning of the year about, I'm sure Louisville is like any other school, if you know you're going to play, let's say, on the road at a school that has a Nike ball, you guys will practice with Nike basketballs prior to that game, right?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, because every ball has, even though they may be made, you know, whatever you say, by some similar company, even though they're branded differently, the balls are different, right? Under Armour, Nike, definitely. Adidas, whatever it may be.
They're different weights, different feels, different sizes, believe it or not. Like, there's a range of sizes and weights that they have to be within, but it's not an exact size or weight. So there's definitely a different feel and a difference when you shoot the ball. And when you get up as many reps as a shooter does, you can tell that difference.
All right. I'll guess this, Pack. Whatever ball it was Ryan decided to pick on Saturday must have been the right ball. Let's go with that.
Well, I was going to follow up. I'm just asking, after the second or third one went in, you were like, we picked the right one today, baby.
Right one today.
Yeah. No, and actually, it was before that. I got an open shot after a whistle, and I shot it, and it kind of went in and out. And when even when I shot it, I was like, wow, that felt really good. Like, I just really need to get open right now, because the next one I shoot will go in. And when you get in a zone like that, your teammates, if you have good teammates like me, they'll try to find you in transition or get you open looks. And, they've seen me do that in practice, and they just keep finding me in practice. So, they were getting me the ball at will, and I was just knocking them down.
Is it just as simple for you as watching the first one go in, Ryan? Because I mean, I've done several of your games. This is the first time I'd seen you this year. I mean, every mm-hmm. once in a while, though, in your earlier years, if the first one went down, then there was a chance the second one would go down. This year, you're shooting it with a yeah. lot more confidence. I don't know if it's just more experience, whatever the case may be, but is it just as simple mm-hmm. as watching the ball go in the basket on the first one?
Sometimes, just because, you know, you get up so many reps. Once you get one in, you're basically like, dang, I just need to do that exact same thing over again. And maybe make a little adjustment if I'm further out or closer in. So seeing that first one go in is a big confidence builder.
You've seen both Duke and Florida State. Are you guys scoreboard watching a little bit, or is this something, hey, we'll take care of those guys in March when we see them in the tournament? I'm just kind of curious because your team is really playing great basketball.
I mean, we have a lot of goals this year, ACC regular season championship, ACC tournament championship. So we definitely watch their games and see. I mean, we play Florida State again, so I watch every single one of their games and see where – you know, maybe we can do better than we played them the first time. So, you know, we have big goals, and we're definitely worried about March as well. So,
I think one of the things we talked about after the ball game with Sean Farnham was the depth of your team. And Mark and I have mentioned it here the last couple of days on this show, Ryan. I think a lot of people don't understand how deep your basketball team is. I mean, Florida State certainly throws lines and waves of players at you. Duke mm-hmm. is showing a little more depth than maybe they've had traditionally. You guys, your depth might be underrated nationally because there are a lot of guys you got coming off the bench like yourself who can contribute and contribute mightily to the success of that team.
Definitely. I mean, I truly believe we have four or five, six guys on our team that can go off for 20 plus points on any given night. And, as a team, we know that. So, I mean, when one person's hot, we just keep going to the well, you know. There's no reason to stop going to them. The other night it was Jordan's night. Fresh had a big game against Kentucky, you know, last night, or the other night was my night. So having all those weapons is very dangerous, and it can make us a really good team come March.
Now, I know it's early in the morning. It's a little past 9 a.m. Word has it you like to sing and dance. Is that true? Can you confirm that?
I will not confirm or deny that.
All right. Well, that means
yes.
That means I'm going to say that's a yes. So with that said, give me the last tune that you were singing this morning.
I was singing one of the new leaked Drake songs. So I don't even really know the name of it yet, but it just came out.
All right, give me a couple bars of that.
No way.
Let's go.
There's no chance that's happening on the ACC network this morning.
All right, I'll tell you what. Here's the next thing. So you think Matt Damon would play you as in a movie? You think Matt Damon's your guy, right?
Yeah, Matt Damon's my guy. I think my favorite actor is Leonardo DiCaprio, but... Matt Damon, I think, I don't look as much like Leonardo DiCaprio as Matt Damon does. He'd be a more realistic doppelganger for me.
All right. I want to get back.
Pac's doppelganger is actually legendary professional golfer Angel Cabrera.
Angel Cabrera.
So, you know, everybody's got one.
I want to go back to the singing part since you're not going to give me anything live. Are you the best singer on this team?
Oh, by far.
By far. Okay.
And anybody on our team that doesn't agree with that is just flat out lying.
Who would be a distant second?
Aiden. I think Aiden.
All right.
Higuain, right?
Yeah. He has a decent voice.
What about Chris Mack? What kind of tunes has he got? Can you do anything?
I've never heard him sing, but I know he likes Kid Rock.
Oh.
See, there we go. We got some stuff on Coach Mack.
There we go. That's what I was looking for.
Ryan, I want to twist things here. You've now played for Chris Mack for a couple of years. You started obviously with Coach Pitino. You were on the team when David Padgett was the interim. You've seen a lot of things in your career at the University of Louisville. What's that meant to you? I mean, what have you learned going through that process? Because that's not an easy ride by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I mean, that whole process of going through different coaches, it can be tough. I think the biggest thing I've learned is that no matter what the situation is, if you work hard and buy into whatever system or culture you're in, you know, you can make it work. So when the going gets tough, like, I've learned just not to run from it. I've learned to make it work. And I take a lot of pride in that because I think that shows not only the type of player I am, but the type of person I am.
All right. The other thing I wanted to get with you on was that early in your career, I heard a story that you were coming out of Sarasota and Dick Vitale was involved in helping you get connected to Louisville. Is that right? Was there some sort of connection there about that? Where were you being recruited and how did you ultimately end up with the Cards on their radar?
So I was getting recruited by small Division I schools, local Division I schools, pretty high major Division II schools, you know, kind of schools like Bellarmine that compete for the national championship every year, and then really high academic Division III schools where I would pretty much just go there to get an incredible education. And then it wasn't until a Christmas tournament my senior year in high school when I played against my former teammate Antonio Blakeney, and Dick Vitale was in the house to watch Antonio, where I just went off. And I think I played 2.5 quarters because of foul trouble, and I had 20-something points, and I was really, really efficient, and I was hitting some tough shots. So ever since then, he would randomly come back to another game, and any game he came to, I just played better and better. And so he started talking to my parents, like, you need to, you know, what schools are interested in him? You need to get him recruited by the big-time schools. He can play at the highest level, and, you know, I wasn't getting recruited by anybody big time. And Dick Vitale, when he would go to games, he would just start saying, like, you need to look at this kid. You need to look at this kid before the games. And Coach Pitino, I think their team was struggling shooting the ball that year. And Coach Pitino said, I'm only recruiting shooters now, from now on. And shout out to Justin Mages, JM Basketball Videos. He made incredible mixtapes for me my senior year. He loved filming me and loved mashing up mixtapes together for me. So Dick Vitale had videos and highlight tapes to show those coaches when he went on the road. And Coach Pitino liked what he saw, and they started recruiting me, and then just kind of got the ball rolling, and everybody started recruiting me.
That's a great story.
That is a great story.
One more thing, just out of curiosity's sake. Who is the toughest defender on you in the ACC? Who's the guy that you say, you know what, tonight I know I got so-and-so, and you know what, I got to really work?
Or maybe if you don't want to give us the full scouting report and let that person know, you can tell us the toughest defender who maybe is not in the league anymore. Because I know some guys don't want to acknowledge tough
I'd
defenders.
I'd rather know the guy that
I know
is
you
in the
would.
League
I, Packer,
right
Packer
now.
Wants
I'm
you
not
say,
worried about the guy that's flipping burgers somewhere. I want to know the guy that right now is in the league that Ryan's going to see at some point in time between now and the Final Four and says, you know what, this guy is a great defender, and he really gives me issues. Who's that guy?
I'd say Trent Forrest. I mean, he's just so long, so athletic. He's so good at pressuring the ball. He has incredible anticipation. So you got to be careful with the ball at all times when he's guarding you. So a lot of guys on that Florida State team are incredible on-ball defenders. So they're not too fun to go up against, but I love the challenge.
Well, I appreciate an honest answer, and that's what that was right there. All right, before we let you go.
Oh, this is
the most difficult course you've had at Louisville is what?
Easily Finance 307 with this really, really difficult professor. It was one of the toughest classes I've ever had in my life. I had to put in like 2-3 hours a day into it. It was not fun.
Give a shout out to that professor. What's his name or her name? Oh, you feel like Trent Forrest is on you right now, right?
It's my finance 304 professor.
All right, I tell you what, you keep that in mind. The next time we have you on, I want that answer.
And there'll be another time.
All right.
You're good to go.
Sounds good.
Hey, good luck tomorrow night against Wake Forest. I know you got a big weekend ahead as well. And fun to see you on Saturday. And best wishes ahead, okay?
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right. Ryan McMahon, Louisville. That was fun.
Pretty cool story about the Dick Vitale video.
Yeah, next time we get Coach Vitale on, we'll have to talk about that.
But, you know, it just goes to show you, too, that there's players everywhere, right? If you just get a chance, it's like no different than finding a job or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Get the opportunity, someone gives you a chance, and then you step up and get it done. Everybody can have nice things, Wes.
Yep. Everybody can have nice things.
Yep.
Are you going to finish that by saying including NC State?
No, I'm just telling you. Okay. I don't care who you are, what team you are. You can have nice things. You work hard enough, good stuff happens to you.
He was terrific on Saturday.
Sure was.
And how about the story about the basketball? Did you know that you could drop the ball?
I did not know that.
I didn't either. Now, I know the story about the golf balls, right? Where you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
tennis balls.
Tennis balls, same way.
But I did not know for basketballs. That was and the guy can shoot, so obviously he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. It was almost like a little it's almost like some analytics and engineering on that for you, wasn't it?
I liked it.
Yeah.
And I liked the fact that he was honest about Trent Forrest.
Yeah.
I didn't need the guy from 1997. I want to know the guy right now that you're going to go play against.
I got that.
I thought his scouting report regarding Florida State was excellent as well.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Coveted invite coming up in about 15 minutes. Katie George, the one and only. Ryan McMahon was outstanding. A Louisville flavor here in the last hour.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
By the way, I saw a picture. The Rolling Stones right there.
Sure.
I saw a picture of Louisville's football stadium with the Rolling Stones emblem on the scoreboard. Just saying.
When did you see that?
I saw it. My days are so screwed up.
Recently? Like 72 hours?
Yeah.
Like the Stones at Papa John's or Cardinal Stadium?
Yeah. Just saying. I'm sensing maybe two trips to Louisville. Derby, Stones. It's happening in Louisville, man.
They wouldn't do. No, they wouldn't do that.
Why not?
They wouldn't do the Stones ahead of the Derby.
I heard there's going to be another concert at an ACC venue. Major concert.
I heard that too. Like
in August.
Within a month before the season starts.
On a
natural grass surface.
Right. Culture. I'll just give you a hint. 404.
Yeah. I heard that too.
It's kind of crazy.
That is crazy. That close to the start of the season?
It's like a divots down the third base line at that softball stadium down there, Clemson.
That's exactly right. Draw the yellow line for the hazard. Right? Couple things here before we get to Katie George, bottom of the hour. Have you seen this Big Ten proposal?
I have.
And what this does, by the way, it's a proposal offered by the Big Ten. There's plenty of stories that have been written about it. Would allow every athlete to transfer once without sitting out a year. Give me a thought.
Thought is you can come up with whatever idea you want, but everybody has to be on the same page. So if the Big Ten wants to do this, great. Everybody else better sign up for it because you cannot have different rules for different leagues.
You can't have different rules for different sports either.
Well,
and we do.
All the above.
Right now we do.
I know. But, I mean, I just think you better stay. This could be just beyond the wild, wild west if everybody's got different rules.
Well, what is now?
Well, there's still at least a semblance of that it's not as whacked out. If you're going to have a deal from that league where, hey, one and done and off you go. Wes, everybody's got to be on the same page.
I don't disagree with that, Mark. I think that's where one of the issues of the whole organization's in peril.
It sounds like, from what I read, that the NCAA had no clue.
Oh, no.
No clue. Sure. The Big Ten was thinking this.
Right.
Which is par for the course,
mm-hmm.
Right? Typical, right?
Right.
The governing body with absolutely no idea what a Power Five league's thinking. With a topic that has been kicked around by everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you not know that's happening? So,
I like the idea.
I do, too, if everybody's on the same page.
Okay. here's the question, and maybe this has been addressed. There's a litany of articles about this. In the one article that I read, the grad transfer market is not addressed. So are we saying you get one transfer without sitting out, and then if you graduate, you get another one?
Well, I think if you graduate, you should be allowed to go wherever you want. You have earned the right, if you have eligibility left and you have your degree. The object is when you go to college is to get a degree to better yourself. If you've done the work, and you've got the degree, and you've got eligibility left, you should be able to go anywhere you want.
All right.
Prior to that, though, Wes, if you want to make this say everybody's got one, as long as everybody's doing it, I got no problem with it.
Okay. So let's get this straight now. This is what we have on the table. Five to play four, right? That's number one. You also have five to play four in football if you play four games or less. Okay? Because you can redshirt then. So your clock is five. You can play four the whole bit. You can now transfer if you graduate. In the case of Chase Bryce, that's 2 years. In the case of Ryan Finley, it was three, right? Okay? You can apply for waivers. And now all of a sudden the Big Ten wants to introduce a one and done on the transfer.
But Wes, I don't have a problem with that. If it benefits the student-athlete, I'm
well,
it
all
with it.
Benefits the student-athlete right now.
I know, but it's got to be consistent. Everything's got to be congruent.
Okay.
Everything. Because you cannot have one league playing by this set of rules, another league playing by a different set of rules.
Don't disagree.
And I think that's the that's to me, is the main component of all. There's a bunch of great, interesting concepts, but everybody's got to sign up and say, hey, you know what? This is how we're going to conduct our business.
All right. Now I'm just going to ask you this. Are Power Fives more equipped to adopt this than G5s?
I have no idea.
What would be your...
I mean, I don't know. I mean...
See, I think they are. I think Power Fives could handle the one transfer deal better than...
Oh, you mean in terms of operation?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. No question. The Power Five, without question.
Okay. So...
You meant in terms of making this law.
No. I think the Power Fives can handle the one transfer rule than anybody else.
No doubt.
The group of fives, the Max and Wax and all those, I'm not sure they can.
Totally agree.
An inventory standpoint.
Totally agree.
Because remember, most of the people transferring... out of those programs are transferring up.
Right. Correct.
So, to me, you get into an inventory. And by the way, if you do this, you have to reset the recruiting. You have to reset recruiting again.
But let me play devil's advocate with you. I think if you're one of the power brokers, let's just take football.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you're one of the big boys in the sport, Clemson, right. Alabama, Ohio State, fill in the blank with your favorite. I don't think it's going to affect those guys at all.
I don't think it is either, but I think the Power Fives as a whole, you got to look at how the recruiting process works. Because whatever's getting ready to happen tomorrow doesn't matter.
But it may give you an opportunity if you're a school that has struggled.
Right.
But has the upside to be a factor. Let's just take Miami and Florida State. I mean, they're the perfect examples of schools that when they give you an A effort, they could be one of the elite. I think it gives you an opportunity under that scenario to really fill in some holes where maybe you've missed in recruiting or developing players.
Yeah.
I think it helps them.
By the way, last November, the NCAA Board of Directors put a moratorium on transfer-related rules and regulations and proposals and things like that for the remainder of the legislative calendar. So the earliest this would be heard or discussed in any kind of detail would probably be next summer.
Just think everybody's going to be on the same page. That's all.
I don't disagree.
Come up with
that,
whatever rule you want, but let's just make sure everybody's playing by the same.
And you also know what I've said, too, and that I think ultimately we're building to a separation, but that's me, down the road. But we'll see how it goes.
Is that breaking news?
No.
Is that a Culpepper report?
No, that's not a Culpepper
report. We've not included that on television.
No, and we're not going to. There'd be a lot of bridges and papers we'd have to sign.
Yes,
real quick,
that's true.
We told you Todd McShay's got a mock draft available right now on ESPN.com. Some ACC players are in the top 25. Isaiah Simmons is 4. Friend of the show, Mekhi Becton, is at 11. And T. Higgins is at 24.
I think there will be more than 3 ACC players drafted in the first round.
I know what. That one at 4 can go.
No, I know. They all can go. But I think the league will put more than 3 in the first round.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Power Hour.
Conked out. Fuller not making the Power Hour today.
The boys are out, man. They look like me yesterday. All right, you got the number. You know what's going on. A lot of guests today. Of course, great job by the crew up in Bristol, as always.
We've got a glob game tonight.
Glob game tonight, and who better to cover everything you need to know
about the glob?
The coveted invite. She's back on the show. Katie George, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I need a spot on the floor next to Fuller. That looks comfortable.
Fuller could use some more sleep,
I think.
Fuller is a lover, not a fighter. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
That's perfect. So he's a cuddler is what you're telling me. He's a cuddler.
That's Fuller. Chester and Fuller, don't take good care of you.
You could sit in the green room chair here. Yeah, we got all sorts of things. So you just let us know when the schedule opens up for you. You can come in and have a – you can do the full, full show. Yeah. This is an interesting game tonight. Georgia Tech is – I mean, they had a hard time finally breaking through at home. They did against NC State. Virginia Tech coming off the loss to Florida State. This has got Packers glob game of the week written all over it, I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Georgia Tech's kind of an enigma. You know, they beat NC State. They've struggled some, obviously, having a losing record at this point. But if Jose Alvarado gets hot and they get the ball inside, like Moses Wright and James Banks, I mean, this team can really go and they can really surprise you. Now, Virginia Tech is in need of a win. They've lost the last three in a row. Their last win, actually, I was covering down in Blacksburg against UNC in that double overtime win, which was huge for Mike Young. Big fan of his. I think he's a straight shooter. Those guys play for him. But obviously, you're coming into McCamish tonight, and you're kind of in a do-or-die situation because, I mean, they can't afford many more losses if they're going to make a case for why they should be in the NCAA tournament. And right now, if they continue to lose, they're making the case for why they shouldn't be. They're extremely young, obviously, as you guys know. They're also very small. So I'm interested to see how they match up. PJ Horn, obviously Landers Nolly, who could easily be the freshman ACC player of the year, how they match up against some of those bigger guys for Georgia Tech. But I think the matchup at the point guard position is going to be really, really key. Wabisa Beede, obviously, Jose Alvarado going head-to-head. Who can turn the other over, I think is going to be really important.
Katie, I guess we get some confirmation later today from Josh Pastner on Michael DeVoe, who's got the foot injury. I don't know what the latest was. You may have more information. Over the weekend, it didn't sound like he was going to be available. Did not play at Notre Dame, and they did not expect him tonight. You heard anything to the contrary on that?
No, not yet. We're going to shoot around here in about an hour with Virginia Tech. Georgia Tech's right after, so we were going to obviously touch on that with him. But, I mean, he's their leading scorer, so not having him out on the court obviously is a presence that they're missing. But can the other guys step up and make up for those points that they're missing right now is a question. And that's going to fall on a guy like Jose Alvarado, maybe Bubba. And so I'm interested to see how they play tonight against Virginia Tech, who just kind of mucks it up, and they're such a gritty team. Yeah. And I will say, Mike Young gets them to play for 40 minutes. You know, I've seen him. I had the Miami game a week ago. They were down by a large margin, maybe like 26 points or something at the half. They still fought when they came out, and they made a cut into that deficit. And it was a game. I mean, it was a game with a minute left. It was a couple possession game, and we got down to fouling. So kudos to Mike Young of not getting these guys to get down on themselves or give up in those kind of big moments. I mean, they fight to the end, so I like watching them play.
Katie, I think you should do a segment with Mike Young as you two are sitting down beforehand eating popcorn.
Popcorn, yeah.
I think it would be a great
segment. I think
we
need to find out about the popcorn, Katie.
You know, I think that's actually a really good idea because I love popcorn and I enjoy Mike Young's company, and I think he would be all in on that.
I think that would be good. Yeah. By the way, just out of curiosity's sake, because there's a lot of people that would love to get into broadcasting, what's the biggest difference between being the sideline reporter at a football game versus a basketball game?
Well, just from a logistics standpoint, basketball is so much easier, obviously, because you're just walking from bench to bench. Although I say that, and some of these venues are not easy. I mean, you're walking through fans. They obviously want to see. But just going from bench to bench to be able to listen into huddles is easier. Now, arenas can get pretty loud, so it makes it hard to hear the coach. So you have to be pretty close, and obviously you don't want to be all up in their grill in their team huddle. But I think just from a logistics standpoint, it's easier to do basketball. Whereas football, you're so far away. Obviously, there's a lot more ground to cover, but it's harder to hear coaches. It's harder to see what people are saying because they're wearing helmets. Whereas in basketball, if you're standing in a huddle, if a player turns and says something to one of his teammates, you're right there and you can take that in and then go back and give that report on the broadcast. And obviously, there's not a weather factor either, so it makes just planning a whole lot easier in terms of packing, which that's a real thing in this profession. So I'm going to make sure that note has an asterisk at the end.
That's what Pack was going for, actually. I think he was waiting on the weather thing up front, actually, because he broke out into a smile.
I wanted to give a real answer.
I liked it. No, I liked your answer. I thought it was outstanding.
Given your frequency of precipitation this year during football, I thought it was appropriate that you held weather till the end, actually.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know what I did to the gods or what karma is coming back to haunt me, but we ended the season with 5 straight rain games. And then I had a radio game, so it didn't matter what I looked like. I did the Camping World Bowl on radio down in Florida somewhere. It rained. I was like, are you kidding me? I get a game in Florida, and this is what happens. But obviously, radio, didn't matter what it looked like. So
yeah, welcome to my world.
I would like to
respond to that.
Yeah, please don't. I want to move on to your latest accomplishment. And I mean, you've had a lot of victories in life, right? I mean, you've been very successful on a lot of things. But Sunday, during the Watch 54 party, you beat an NFL receiver in a jugs gun competition. Am I to understand this, that you and Harry Douglas actually challenged you, or did you challenge him? How'd this work? Because I know how you roll sometimes.
Funny enough, he challenged me. So ESPN hosts this 54 watch party in Studio E up in Bristol. And we went back and forth. Basically, he had heard that I'd done some jugs work with Amari Rodgers. And so he said, all right, you know, one of the games that night, they brought this jugs machine into the hallway outside of the studio. And so it was basically like pig, but then we kept catching with two hands on the jugs machine. So he finally was like, all right, you know what? We're going to go one-handed now. And I was like, oh, okay, up in the ante. Like, obviously, I'm going to lose at this point. This is ridiculous. The man owns a jugs machine. It's in his basement at his house. And he misses the first catch, the first one-handed catch. And everybody was, like, laughing. And so I was like, oh, gosh, I just don't want to get hit in the face. Like, this is going to be bad. But then volleyball instincts kicked in, and I was like, you don't have to catch this because I've got small hands. I was like, you need to bop this ball up in the air, tip it a little bit like you would a volleyball, then catch it one-handed. You know, take the momentum out of it. That's exactly what I did. I just executed to perfection, and I beat an NFL star and a former Louisville alum. I mean, it was awesome.
Well,
he didn't know what was coming. That's
the best
part. Of course
he didn't, but we did, and you know why? Because we have the Amari Rodgers video here to prove. And when I saw this online last night, I thought to myself, HD had no chance to win this because I've seen this pack. I've seen her with the bullet shots from the jugs gun with Amari Rodgers. There was no way Harry Douglas was going to win this.
I'm not surprised at all. Yes.
I'm not surprised at all, Katie.
Well, I appreciate it. What I'm surprised with is the fact that ESPN couldn't afford to give me some gloves. I mean, Amari Rodgers at Clemson gives me gloves. ESPN was like, no, just take off your watch. And I was like, okay, this is not what I wanted to see. But it was a lot of fun. There were so many games that we played during that watch party. That was obviously one of them. Harry Douglas was a great sport because he got heckled tremendously.
He should have.
By Michael Luck Jr. and others. Well, I mean,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, L. Duncan was very proud. Girl
absolutely.
Proud.
Girl power, L. Duncan. Shout out to L. Duncan, Atlanta.
Hey, do you know anything about the Stones coming to Louisville?
Oh, my gosh. Packer.
Yep.
My family is abuzz right now. We cannot wait. We've heard it from 3 sources that it is happening June 21st at Cardinal Stadium.
Ooh.
Now that the name's changed, I always get tripped up. Yeah, which would be huge.
I like that.
Ooh.
My uncle, he's been to 7 or 8 concerts of theirs, and this is the crazy part. He said with each time he's been, they get significantly better. I don't know how that happens. How do you get better with age like that?
Ask Leonard Hamilton.
I mean, oh, for sure. I mean, that man, what a marvel. It's incredible.
Well,
I want to be him when I grow up.
June 21st, I think, is Father's Day, by the way.
I'm available.
Is it?
Yeah. Be very appropriate. I mean,
assuming that we survive the Derby show that we're going to try to do.
The Derby show, yeah.
I think June 21st sounds good for a return visit.
Hey, I want you to know something, Katie. Chris Mack asked me the other day, with the legendary Kenny Klein by his side, the aide-de-camp to all Cardinal success in athletics is Kenny Klein, as we all know. And Chris Mack said, so, y'all going to do that show on May 1? I was like, sounds like we're developing more of a – and Katie, we're counting on you and E. Wood and Luke Hancock to be like, you know, kind of like the people leading the charge here for Packer and Durham to be at the Derby on May 1.
You totally should. Are you kidding? It would be epic. You would love it. We get you both fedoras, cigars, mint juleps. You could just do straight bourbon.
I can't be there on the 2nd, though. I can't be there on May 2nd for the race.
Nobody cares about that because your daughter's going to be with us.
No, my daughter's graduating from Florida State the next day.
Yeah, she's going to be hanging with
Packer,
us.
Packer though, told my daughter. My daughter called the show last week, week or so ago, for my birthday. And Packer said, Emily, you're really going to enjoy being at the Derby for your graduation, right, walking across the stage at Churchill Downs to get your diploma. I'm like, Pack, that's not happening.
Wes is going to be in Tallahassee waiting for his daughter to walk across the stage, but yet she's going to be hanging with us, one in each hand, going crazy. That's what I'm talking about. That's how you celebrate.
I can tell you the infield is significantly more fun than your graduation. And this is the sad part about the country is – in the state of Kentucky, no universities graduate on Derby Day. It's like a cardinal rule.
Right.
No, and then everyone else, part of the pun, thank you guys for noticing. I appreciate it. Everyone else graduates on Derby Day. I had two brothers go to Miami of Ohio. My juniors and senior year of high school, which is like your prime, your social butterfly, I had to go to Oxford, Ohio and watch both of them graduate.
Not bitter, apparently.
I mean, how do you do that to somebody?
There's no angst or bitterness at all about that.
We might need to cut this off right now.
End this interview right now.
Before shoot around.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I don't want Mike Young.
It probably rained, though, those years.
Yeah, exactly.
It rains all the time.
Yeah, I don't want Mike Young or Josh Pastner to catch any of this angst and bitterness of the coveted invite.
Have fun tonight. We'll be watching.
Thanks, Katie. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. Great seeing you. Feel better, Pack.
Thank you.
All right. Katie George, the coveted invite, staple of the program here on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Fun day on guest, as always.
We only had one costume change out of you today there, big boy.
Actually, it's been two.
Two? Oh. Yeah. Two changes.
I think I've kind of sweated out.
Have you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It's still early. We got a long day ahead. Believe me. It's going to be a long day ahead. But the guests today were outstanding.
Yep.
Josh and Drew and Christy and the rest of the crew up there always do a great job.
Yep.
Appreciate that very much. We have hoops tonight. Of course, coveted invites covering new tech, old tech. And so you know that one. But we also have the Duke Blue Devils and BC getting together. We had Jim Christian on the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. They're fresh off their big win against North Carolina over the weekend. They can't wait. Here comes Duke, who's really playing good basketball.
Yeah, Boston College tonight. Duke's averaging about 8 threes a ball game in conference play. I would offer you this tonight. One thing that comes into play on this is the rebounding situation. Vernon Carey's been a beast, and you see Duke's a 95% chance to win according to BPI. Tonight it might be as simple as rebounding for Duke, who is fourth in the league at +3.3. Boston College is dead last in rebound margin, -7.5.
Now, you did this game the first time, did you not?
New Year's Eve, yeah.
And
BC was never in it.
No, it was
Popovich did not make the trip. Derek Thornton sprained an ankle in his return to Cameron. And to be honest with you, Heath and Felder and those guys got caught looking at the ghost. And that's a term I use when you take a young guy into a building he's seen on television and let him play for the first time, and it ends up just going south, and it goes south fast. Conti Forum tonight is sold out. Duke is wildly popular in Boston. I've done the game in Boston three times, Duke-BC. BC has hung around in the game and won the game.
1-1.
Yeah. They'll have to hit perimeter shots tonight. Tonight is a game BC will have to be a lot better shooting the ball than the Duke will. Duke is, by the way, 38%. They're third in conference play from three. Boston College is 11th. They're going to have to make threes tonight. Popovich is an interesting matchup. Can they drag Vernon Carey away from the basket? Again, the athleticism of Duke. And here again, what's the new wrinkle in Duke this year? Depth. And that's, I think that's a big difference in the game tonight.
And they got another body to add to the list.
Yeah, Wendell Moore's back. Yeah.
I just was really impressed with the way they play against Syracuse. They took Syracuse's best shot early and said, okay, cool, now let's go play and warm out, quite frankly. So Duke, Louisville.
I think Florida the glob game, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech will be interesting tonight. Katie's right. Mike Young's team need to win.
They've lost three straight. You
they
have got to stop the bleeding if you're the Hokies.
Yeah, I mean, they're 5-6, 14-8, 3-3 on the road, and that, all those are league games, by the way. They very, very much a
And Georgia Tech struggled at home.
Yeah, and Alvarado, if DeVoe does not play, and it's not expected he will, if Michael DeVoe does not play, James Banks, Moses Wright, and Jose Alvarado, I think, will each have to have a big night. Single game, by the way. But here we go again with single games.
But the Hokies have lived and died by the three. When they're making threes, they are a tough team to deal with. When they're not making threes, they can be had.
Yes.
It's really that simple for Virginia Tech.
It is. I thought she mentioned a really important piece tonight, too, and will be Sabidi and Jose Alvarado. I think Beattie's pretty underrated defensively. I'm sure they're better. I mean, Trent Forrest, I know, Trey Jones, those guys can all guard it. But I think Wabisa Beattie is a guy who's been really, really critical and is not bad defensively. Tomorrow is signing day, part two in college football. A couple quick notes on that.
Doesn't quite seem the same, does it?
No, I mean,
December has totally lost it. Yeah, it's December gone. Has totally obliterated February.
Yeah,
for the signing thing.
In fact, this is kind of like a drive-by, if you will, on signing day. It's just kind of, you know, who's left now because of the numbers. I think Luke said 80-some percent of the guys a year ago signed in December. I'll bet the number's at least that this year. According to ESPN's Recruiting Nation, of which Tom Luganville is a part of, and he'll be on that signing day special tomorrow at 5:30 that Jordan Cornette will host. The 2020 class rankings. Now, these are the way they fit nationally. Remember, Jeff Collins was here. They had a great recruiting class, one of the best in Georgia Tech's recent years. Look at Mike Norvell going top 20 right off the jump, too. Of course, his most important recruits are coming back, Tamari and Terry and Marvin Wilson. Louisville steady, NC State. Apparently, again, we are the last people on the planet to follow this, correct?
I don't know, follow it as opposed to worrying about it.
That's it. We don't worry about it. Apparently, there is a decision being made tomorrow on a defensive player between NC State and Virginia Tech that folks in Raleigh this weekend were all very interested in. In fact, I was asked by a couple people what I knew about it, and I was like, you're breaking news to me, sir.
Well, here's what I will tell you, though, Wes. Looking at that list, we keep talking about, we know what Clemson's all about. Who else is ready to step up and be a consistent top 20 program? And I know this is just one snapshot.
Right.
I mean, you need four classes, you know, year. You know, that's the kind of stuff, though.
Right.
You got to have players, right? And you also have to develop players. So, Florida
Tar Heels on that list?
They are.
Yeah.
And they've got a ton of guys coming back.
Yep.
Mike Brown doing a nice job.
Tomorrow on this show, by the way, friends, John Mooney will join us.
Double machine.
He of 38 career double doubles. 38. He is second in Division I this year with 17. Notre Dame hosts Pittsburgh, tomorrow night. Here on ACC Network, Steve Schlanger and Dan Bonner will be at the Purcell Pavilion. Big.
That's a big game.
So we're looking forward to talking to John Mooney, the senior from down around the Orlando area. He's got a fascinating story. Originally committed to Florida when Billy Donovan was still the Gators coach. And then Mike Bray did Mike Bray things on John Mooney, including encouraging him a year ago, go through the NBA thing.
By the way, do you think Billy Donovan will end up back in college? Because I do.
Sure. I don't rule out anything like that. I think there are a couple pro coaches end up back in college one day.
It will not surprise me if Billy Donovan ends up back in the ACC.
I think there are a couple college coaches end up in the pros.
See what I just said?
Yeah. Billy Donovan in the ACC.
You didn't listen to what I just said.
What in the world are you doing?
We're getting ready
to finish the show.
I'm going to give you a tease. I think Billy Donovan will end up in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Oh my gosh. Oh my heavens. We're going off the air here.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
What's wrong with that?
You can't do that.
Why not? I just did it.
It's against the rules.
I had to do it twice because you didn't hear me the first time.
Billy Donovan ends up.
I think Billy Donovan will end up in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Okay, that's on the show tomorrow then.
I don't know when.
Great.
But Billy Donovan will be at a blue chip school. All right. Think about how the ACC is going to change at the top. I'm just saying.
We're finishing the show.
Well, you want to do a little bonus time? I mean, I'm over here sick as a dog. I'll go three more hours. I need to get out of this room.
Because I'm healthy. I'm feeling pretty good about myself.
By the way,
Jordan Cornette tomorrow.
Okay.
Perhaps, we hope.
Oh, wait, yes or no on Jordan Cornette?
We don't know that.
Well, then don't promote it.
Okay.
See, that's not what you're supposed to do.
But you're also not supposed to say coaches will end up in the ACC either.
I think Billy Donovan will end up at one of the blue blood schools in the ACC.
Okay. Thanks to Drew and Josh and Chrissy for a great job. Everybody involved. Robert, Otto, in the Christmas decoration room. Me and Mr. Speculation over here.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.